Good morning. I'm Allie, and it's great to be with you guys again here today. I was here about a month ago, and it's really fun to be back so soon. It just feels, it just feels good to see you all again. So here I am, and I'm especially happy to be here talking about what we're talking about today. We're talking about friendship. And last week, Chuck told us what he thought were behaviors of people who loved their city. And he talked about getting free, getting together, getting on our knees, and getting to work. And he said these were all behaviors of people who love their city. And I got to thinking that all of those, whether right now you agree with me or not, all of those have to do with friendship on some level. Either friendship with others or friendship with God. And today I'm going to take you on a little bit of a personal friendship history in my life. And I want to put out there for you to consider along the way that I think friendship is the primary way that God will change the city of Cincinnati. And so we can't talk about God's heart for the city and potential changes that we want to see happen here without talking about the context of friendship. And that's what we're doing today. I want to start by telling you about my grandma. I know that's a random place to start. She's never lived here. But she wasn't exactly the cookie baking, cheek pinching kind of grandma. She was more the Steelers watching, highball drinking kind of grandma. She had, funny quirks, like she ate all forms of meat with just her hands. Knife, fork, no thanks, just my hands will do. And she liked to watch the NBA while cursing at the TV. This really was my grandma. And she sort of found God a little late in her life. But when she did, she really did. And she put all of that zest for life into zest for God. She even said at her funeral, she knew she was going to pass away. And she even said, she didn't say this at her funeral. That really would have been interesting. She said this prior to her funeral, regarding her funeral, that it was her last chance to tell people about God, so they were going to sit there as long as she wanted them to. And when she was preparing to die, I don't know whether you've seen this from other people in your life, but she began giving things away. And she went through some of her possessions, and she began to give things to people, so much so that her sister would call her and ask for things. She called her one day and asked for her couch, and that was my grandma's time out. Stop calling me! You can't have my couch. I'm not dead yet. But she did something really sweet for her granddaughters, and I think there are eight or nine of us, and she decided she would go through her jewelry, and she would pick out one piece of jewelry that, for whatever her reasons were, she wanted that particular granddaughter to have. And when she chose mine, I was just really touched by what she picked for me, because what she picked for me was her cross necklace. She wore a gold cross, maybe an inch and a half big, on a long gold chain around her neck. A lot of times it was under her clothes, and it was, always near her. And she picked that out for me, and the way she explained her choice was that I'm giving this to Allie because she's my friend. And because my grandma was who she was, there were not a lot of sweet moments to hold on to. And I thought she was great and, zesty and spunky and all that, but there weren't a lot of sentimental things about her that I got to hold on to. And when she died, the past 6 years, those words, they've just sat really heavy on me. And when I started first thinking about friendship in the context of God, her words kept coming back to me. For some reason, she had picked out her cross necklace and she had called me her friend, but truth be told, I didn't really understand why. Because in point of fact, we weren't. We didn't spend friend time together. But I never forgot what she said, and I didn't understand it until just recently. But I'm going to start my friendship history with you all and tell you that as a kid, I always had friends. I always enjoyed friendship in my life, but I never made friends in a community, a cohesive sort of way. I always would make one in one activity, maybe two on my street, maybe one over here, and they were all great and good fun, but they never sort of formed a group. And I remember even watching people's friendships, even groups that I had no desire to become a part of, and I would think, boy, that group of friends, man, I'd like to be part of a group of friends. And I think there was a loneliness that just sort of sat on me a lot it took me a long time to recognize because I never felt like I had a loving, supportive network of friends. They were always sort of disconnected from each other. And I even would go so far as to say I'm one of the few people that I know who would really say I didn't really like college all that much. I know you can all gasp, everybody loved college. It was all right. I liked being independent. I enjoyed some of my classes, but that is the time in most people's lives where they're deeply living in friendship community. But this pattern that I had always had, it certainly held true even there. There were women that I lived with in college, but again, even the women that I lived with were not all friends. Friendly, sure. We moved here to Cincinnati in 1999. That's when my husband and I got married, and we moved here. And this began sort of what I would less than fondly call the time of no friends. We were not from here, and so we didn't move here, certainly with even a network of family, let alone friendships established. And we really relied upon, certainly me, I think my husband Bill would say the same, we relied upon work to connect us in relationship. And luckily, I worked around a lot of really nice, really, fun young people. And so I would have called them my friends at the time. But now, I don't think that they really were. I do think that's how I felt connected to relationships in my life. And that was valuable to some extent. But I don't really think they were friends. And this was just a lonely time for us. And we suffered individually, I think, as a result of this, and our marriage suffered greatly during this time. And not only that, but it also, interestingly, corresponded a period of time in my life where I felt very distant from God. He just wasn't very present for me. I wasn't really, we didn't have a community. We weren't coming to Crossroads quite yet, and he just felt far off. And I know that that's not an accident because friendship is a practical experience of knowing God. It is one of the ways that he loves us, and he does that through other people in friendship. And so it doesn't surprise me that looking back, those two things are related to one another. Well, eventually we landed here and we tried sort of what I would call the Crossroads process of making friends. The serve a little, join a small group. And there were some sparks. I met some really great people, and there were definitely some friendship sparks there that had some potential, but still nothing kind of really took root quite yet. Fast forward a few years, and now let's hit the year 2004. And I would say some of those sparks were sort of blossoming. Just spending a little more time with people on a personal level and beginning some real friendships. And because we had felt like our marriage had just been in a time where we had suffered a bit and we wanted to come out of that, we were growing a little bit closer to God and we felt like he was kind of nudging us to make a move, to make a fresh start, to just wipe the slate clean in some ways. And so we sold our house in Mount Lookout and we began looking around the city. And we didn't have any particular reason to move any particular place. So we would kind of hit different places on Sunday afternoons. We'd let's go check out Loveland. We've never been to Loveland. Let's just drive to Loveland, see what's happening in Loveland. You know, so we would hit some different places around Cincinnati. It's actually a good way to see the city. And eventually we decided that we would begin the process, this very fun process, of building a house in Mason. And I have a picture of that house. I want to show it to you. There it is. That was somewhere near the end of the construction process, but pre-grass, as you can see. And we loved this house. We had a lot of fun building it. It was not the stressful process that a lot of people describe. We just had a lot of fun doing it. We loved the neighborhood we picked, and we really liked some potential things later on for family. In the community of Mason, we thought it was a good place for us to choose, and so we did that. And we built this house, and we really loved it. And I would call this time fresh start good. Without friends, bad. And 18 months after we moved into this house, we had a conversation, just kind of a heart-to-heart, and we said, okay, we can leave now, or we can leave when we're really miserable, but we've got to get out. And it had nothing to do with the community. It had nothing to do with the house. It had everything to do with the fact that God was planting some friendships in our life. And just at the time when we were beginning to build those, we extracted ourselves from them and went somewhere else. And we began to learn what I would still say was one of our deepest and probably most costly financial, certainly financially, lessons about friendship. And we learned that isolation is the thing that destroys friendship. Chuck talked last week about the fact that city lovers, they get together on a regular basis. And it reminded me of a verse in Hebrews in chapter 10 where we're given a very specific instruction not to give up the practice of meeting together regularly. And for me, you know, I've heard that used to say, and so therefore never miss church on Sunday. And I think there's, obviously, I think there's value in this kind of a meeting, but I don't think that was what the verse was really talking about. See, I think the verse is really talking about what Bill and I started to miss. We began to give up the practice of meeting together with our friends. There were small group meetings that suddenly just seemed like, we just don't want to get in the car and drive that far again. We had a new baby, our first son. You know, babies aren't exactly on the adult schedule and timetable. And so we throw that in there, and all of a sudden there were lots of good reasons why we gave up the practice of meeting with our friends on a regular basis. We did the best that we could, and we had accidentally ended up in a situation where we felt isolated, and we fixed it. We put a for sale sign in our front yard, and we put our house on the market, and we left. And you don't do that in a neighborhood that is not even built out yet without paying a cost. But it remains one of the immovable lessons about friendship that I feel like God has sort of taught us over the course of the last few years, because now whenever one of my friends moves, I'm like, there's a house for sale in my neighborhood. I want you to be serious about looking at it. And I'm serious. I really want you to look at it. And they're, Allie, no, there's an open house on Sunday. I want you to come and look at it. Because I just hold this strong conviction that we're supposed to be surrounded by our friends. It would be great if everyone I know lived on my street. I know that's not possible, but let's get within 10 minutes of each other if we can. And I know that God's heart, after that experience, I know his heart is that we would be surrounded by our friends. I also learned, I kind of continued learning about God's heart for friendship. Probably around that same period of time, I met a woman who has now become a very close friend of mine. And I learned about how much, even though I believe isolation kind of kills the potential for friendship, that God really is pursuing us on the other end. He is working, he is not standing by waiting for these things to happen. He's pursuing us in the context of friendship. And this woman that I met really taught me about God's heart for that. It was the first friend I had ever had that I really would say, in hindsight, I felt pursued by her. I think this is a special thing about how God put her together. I think she's just like somebody who's created to exist in friendship. And so when she started to pursue me in friendship, she would call me and stop by, and our children, you know, she thought our children could meet, and maybe our husbands could meet, and we could, you know, do things together. And I just felt for the first time in my life like there was a friend who was pursuing me. She even said to me at one point, I feel like I've joined you at chapter 8 in your life. We need to fill in chapters 1 through 7. Let's do that. So we took the day off together, and we went up to the beach water park, and we just filled in chapters 1 through 7. And it was just one of those instant connection things, and I slowly realized through the process of this friendship growing and deepening that this was God's heart for friendship. that he was actually giving me a gift. For the first time in my life, I got to feel pursued by a friend, and it felt good, and it felt like what God wants to do in the midst of real friendship. Not only do I think he put Kelly in my life for that reason, but also just revealed the truth about himself and his own heart for friendship with me. It kind of reminded me of a verse that I like that I didn't really understand until this point. I understood it. I just didn't understand it to be my experience of God. And he says in Deuteronomy 31:8 that he'll go before us and be with us, that he will never leave us, and that he will never forsake us. And Kelly said to me at one point, Allie, if you think this is just one of those friendships that, you know, at some point, a year or so from now, we'll just kind of stop calling each other and that'll be, you know, we'll be fine, but, you know, we won't really hang around much anymore. She said, I just want you to know, you're going to have to break up with me and shake me loose. I'm never letting go. And it was, that remains one of the most loving things that anyone's ever said to me, because I got to see for the first time that that is a part of God's heart, that he never, never, never stops pursuing us in friendship. Well, I think we've arrived about the year 2007 of this little friendship journey. And Kelly was certainly a part of a growing handful of friends and couples that we were really deepening friendship with at this point. I would say these were really blooming in our life, and we had moved into a new house, which I'll show you in a minute, but we were having some frustration. Bill and I experienced some frustration. I don't know if he remembers this particular conversation. I think that he does. But I certainly do, because I'm sort of the one who manages the family calendar. You know, it's, I don't know how you do that. Do you do that on your iPhones now? I don't know anything about managing calendars online. But we do it by a calendar that is on the corner of our cabinets. And I write things down on it. It's old school, but it works for me. And we sat down one day, and I said, I'm just frustrated with this. There's not enough room. You know, we've got all these things. We've got, you know, some client stuff, some, you know, firm stuff with my husband, and we've got old neighbors and new acquaintances and kids stuff starting to pop up, and it's just, there's not enough room. And I'm growing frustrated with this stuff, all of these people. And this conversation that we had, I think, was the first time that we actually looked at one another and said, there are people in our life that we need to make room for. And we said those names out loud to each other. We didn't write them on a piece of paper, although we could have, I think. We said, these are the people we feel like we want to make room for in our life. These are the ones we want to commit to. And essentially, we were saying, these are the friendships that we want to deepen and we want to grow with. And we've got to clear some of this other stuff out of the way. And so we did that. And I think that God was listening to that conversation, because as I look back on when friendship really started to move, really started to change in our life, I think that conversation was the beginning of something. I think it was the first time we had ever taken responsibility and wanted to take responsibility in friendship for other people. It was the beginning of us saying, we need to make space in our life to care for these other people in a quality way. And all of this other stuff needs to change, because this is the heart of what we want to do. As I look at what started to move, after that conversation, friendship started to change. It started to move, and I mean really move in our life. And I would say from that period, I think that was in 2007, right up until now, we've seen the biggest changes take place in our life in the context of friendship. And primarily what we've noticed is that anytime we commit in friendship like that, there comes with it a cost, a big cost. And our first big cost, here, let's have a look at our house. This is the house that we bought. This is my house. I think my husband's in this service. Look at his stripes on the grass. Aren't they nice? He mows the grass so nice. He'd be so proud of that. Anyway, that's our house in Anderson. And the cost that came with this house was great for us. But we look at the money that we lost on that move, and we don't regret any of it. because it was our first cost of understanding that when we commit in friendship and we put that at the center, there come with it costs. We even we picked the particular location of that house based on a family of friends that we knew in the neighborhood, and even the particular section of Anderson. If you've ever driven over there, you could be like, Anderson is the craziest shaped suburb in the city. I mean, you could be over here in Anderson, over here. Is this Milford? Is this Loveland? Are we on the river? What's happening here? It's all Anderson. And we picked the particular location of Anderson because we could most quickly get to the highway to see some friends that we're close to in northern Kentucky. And we picked that location because it's right off of Beachmont, very near Mount Washington. And we could zip over as fast as we can into the Oakley, Mount Lookout area where several of our good friends live. And we started to uncover other costs, mostly costs of time to gather with these folks. We do this on a regular basis, not just, although importantly, for couples that we meet with regularly, just to grow in friendship and deepen our relationships with each other. But there are three young wives and moms who I also think are part of our friendship community that I commit to meet with on a regular basis, just to share and grow in what it means to be a wife and be a mom. We also gather with each other for holidays, and we dedicate each other's babies, and we even worship in each other's backyards, and we pray for each other, and sometimes for hours, or even some folks have done that all night on different occasions. And I want to show you some pictures of this friend family that God has been developing in our life. Here are some pictures of some of the gatherings that we've been doing. These are really special times for me because I get to see that God is really doing something in the midst of this friendship community. This is not normal. This is a fairly foreign way to live your life. And I just believe that's mostly because of the costs that come with committing in friendship to others. We have just given away our money to some of these friends. There's no tax deductible receipt. No, we don't subtract it off our tithe. We just give away our money. We give away our home to host things. We give away our time to care for other people's kids. We give away my questionable talent of making meals for other people when babies are born or when parents are in the hospital or whatever. And that act, these acts of sacrifice are what has created this family of friends that we found ourselves in. Because this is God's version of friendship. This is really it. It's deep and it's costly. And Jesus himself actually talks about this in the book of John. Let's take a look at what he says. In John 15, he says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." Well, we have slowly found ourselves in a community of friends that we have begun laying down life for in time and money, in other priorities, and it's even cost us other relationships, sometimes even family harmony if we spend holidays like we did on Easter together. Well, I think during this same time have been closer to God than I have ever been in my life, and I know that those two things, again, are not an accident. But I still found myself questioning God sometimes on, okay, God, I think I understand you as a father. I think I can kind of get hold of you as a dad figure. I know that's tough for some people. I understand sort of what that means for us. I understand you as, you know, a leader, as a shepherd, as even as a commander. I can kind of get a hold of you as a creator. But this idea of God as a friend, it's still sort of obtuse for me. What does that mean exactly? What would we do differently because we're friends? And are we friends? And what, I mean, come on, help me out here. What does that really mean? That just sounded like a kind of a foreign concept to me with God. And then I looked at these next two verses in this same chapter of John. Let's look at what Jesus says here. He's talking to the 12 guys that he's been with during most of the years of his real ministry on earth. And he says, "You are my friends if you do what I command." And I want to pause right there. And he says to them, remember, we just read, my command is that you lay down your life for your friends. And so let's read this again. You are my friends if you lay down your life for your friends. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. And lo and behold, somewhere along the way of learning how to sacrifice my life for my own friends, I had put myself in a friendship with God. And it felt similar to the friendships that I was building with other people. And Jesus says directly here, if you want to be my friend, you'll lay down your life for your friends. But as you obey me, you're not my servant just because you're obeying me. It's in the process of obeying that command that you put yourself in a situation where we're friends, where we become friends. I don't call you a servant, I call you a friend. In your obedience to me, you uncover our friendship. And that's essentially what I've seen happen in my own life. And when that finally sunk in, I was like, okay, these are the same thing. God is telling me that I can't have a friendship with him if I don't have this in my life. And the last verse there is what really gets me when I think about change for our city. He says, everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. In the context of friendship, there's nothing we can't know. For me, this is great news because it actually means that I'm supposed to know and understand, in as much as that's possible for us, the will of God. And when I think about change in the city, I think maybe he has something to say about that. But guess who he's looking to tell? He's looking for some friends. And so often, I believe, I've been around this community for a long time, and I really believe I've never met one person who at minimum doesn't want to do good for humanity, and ideally wants to focus that specifically to move the kingdom of God forward in the city or on the earth. I really believe that's the heart of almost everyone I've ever interacted with in our community. But I think so often we put ourselves in a situation where we just hit up against a brick wall when we think up good things to do for God because we aren't really in a friendship with him. And he makes it clear that he reveals his will for change for anything that we would want to know from him in the context of friendship. Not corporate friendship, friendship with you. But committing to others in friendship and laying down our lives for our friends is the only path to friendship with God. It's the only way that we can get there. And that's why I believe that it's impossible to talk about God's heart for change in Cincinnati unless we talk about what it means to lay our life down for our friends. Well, present day situation, 2008, 2009, I would call this, is not only am I learning that God wants me connected to him in friendship, but also I'm beginning to see that that's actually how he connects his whole body here on earth, not just here in Cincinnati, but anywhere. So many times throughout scripture, he talks about the body of Christ and the body of believers that's doing things on the face of the earth in his name. And I really got to see this very acutely when I left work. It's been almost 2 years now. I can't believe that. I was thinking about that when I was putting this together. Almost two years since I left work to stay home with now my two little boys, who are 3 and 1. And I was worried when I left work about isolation. If you're a mom or a dad who's ever stayed at home with your kids for a week or for a year or for 10 years, that's a very real concern. It can be a very isolating place to be. And I knew that, and I had some concerns that I talked to God about and talked to others about. And like I said, in my past, I had really leaned on work. Even if my best friends didn't work with me, I had just leaned on work as a primary way that I felt connected to other people. Just that I experienced the energy in the life that comes from just being in relationships. And so when I left, I was concerned that a lot of that would disappear. And it's not that there aren't days when I don't feel, you know, a bit isolated with my little ones, but by and large, what God has shown me over the last 2 years is that he's fulfilled a promise in my life to connect me in friendship. And what he's done is he's connected me to the body of Christ. And those are not friendships that just drop away because we leave a team or an organization or even if we stop coming here on the weekends. It's stronger than that, and it's different than that, and I never would have seen that had I not extracted myself from the crutch that I had always used in my life to keep myself feeling connected. In Psalm 68:6, David writes this psalm, and he writes this. He says, God sets the lonely in families. This is a promise about God's character and about what he will do, and it's not just for me. It's for you, because this has been the evidence of what's happened to us over the past 10 years. Maybe your story will be different than that. It might take you 6 months. It might take you 10 days. I have no idea, but it took us a while. But that is the truth of what's happened in our life. We feel like God has set us in a family, and a family with connections that are not just any family, that this is actually God's family that he set us into. And I actually also believe that God dreams for us and on our behalf. He gives us kind of friendship dreams in our life. I think that's what some of my earlier memories of watching those groups of friends, I think that's what that really is. I think that was God's heart in me desiring that kind of connection. I have another friend, Mary, who had a dream. She remembered some of the camps that she went to as a kid and how close she felt to some of the people there and how close she always felt to God in those places. I was not a camp person. I can't honestly say I share that heart at all. I really did not like camp. If you hate me, you'll send me to camp. I just really didn't like it as a kid. I think I went once or twice and just... But Mary, I think, felt that same thing. I think God's heart in her was saying, this is a way that she fondly remembered that growing closer to other people and growing closer to God. And so she said, couldn't we all do that? Couldn't we all go away to some sort of camp together? And in 2 weeks, there are 20 or so families, almost 100 people, because everyone has so many kids, who are going to Family Camp 09. Let me show you a couple things. It helps to have a graphic designer in the family. There's a t-shirt, a little logo. Isn't he good? I know. Family Camp 09. No objective except grow closer to each other in friendship and grow closer to God. This is the kind of context I think that our lives start to take on if we really are sown into friendship inside God's family. Because I think his desire for all of us is to live our lives deeper and deeper and deeper in the context of friendship. I just discovered as I was putting this, all of my thoughts together, I guess, for this weekend, what my grandma was really telling me. When she gave me her cross and she called me her friend, I finally worked out what I thought she was saying. And not only do I think that that was her way of telling me, I love you, and this is the deepest way I could tell you that I love you, is to call you my friend. But I also know that she was trying to put into some sort of context this common bond that we experience because we both love Jesus. We both want to follow him with our life. And that gave us access to real friendship. It gave us a higher ground to relate on than granddaughter and grandmother. It elevated our relationship to friends. And I think that she really, whether she knew it or not at the time, really explained to me a piece of God's heart that I never knew, and that is his desire to relate to all of us as friends. And only in that place with God do we get to see some aspects of who he is. And my grandma recognized that when she called me her friend, because she taught me that it is the most mature form and the best form of relationship. And I think this is true as parent-child, as brother-sister, as spouses, as granddaughter-grandmother. Anytime our relationship evolves into that of a friendship, it's a better form. It's a better place to be. And this is the same thing with God. When we put ourselves in a friendship with God, it's the most mature place. It's the best way we can relate to him. I had a reaction to the program a couple weeks ago, specifically related to this series about changing our city. And I was here, I think we're sitting right up there in the balcony, and I was looking through my program like I love to do. And I read the little blurb about this series, and I thought, oh, I'll read this. You know, I knew I was speaking. It's only been a few weeks since I read this. And so I'm reading it. I'm going, okay, yeah, that sounds good, sounds good. And then I got to the last sentence, and it said something like, and you're going to be hearing from city changers right in your midst. And I went, they are? Okay. I guess, and I started to think about a couple of the other people who I know you're going to hear from, and I went, oh, yeah, check, good job you, definitely a city changer there. Check, there's another one, good job. But me? I don't know. All right, sure, that might be a bit of a stretch. And I was bothered by my own reaction to that. It was a true reaction. I really did feel that way. But the more I thought about it, the more I thought, that just indicates to me that there's a part of my heart that is still buying into the same old lie and the same old crap about what it means to change something. Because God, for me, my default picture of change is establishing a new nonprofit in the inner city. That sounds good. That sounds right. And I like those. I like to volunteer for them. And that is just my default picture of what it means to change something, especially when we talk about a city. And I realize that there's just a piece of me that's reluctant to give that up, that still somehow thought that that's what encompasses God's heart for change. And I just think that's very wrong. And I just started to ask God, I want you to show me your heart for change. I want you to show me a new picture of what it means to change something. And I will show you what my picture is. Oh, sorry, can you go to my picture? I'm sorry. Here's my new picture of change. And God tells us that when we are in relationship with him, we aren't going to need to think up good things to do for our city and then go out and plan those and execute those all on our own, because he actually says something one step further in that same passage we were just looking at. Let's look at John 15:16. He says this, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name." He says, after we're friends, you aren't going to have to work this all up, because I've appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit will become evident in your life. And as we follow him as friends, that's what we should be seeing. And his picture of change is a lot bigger and a lot deeper and a lot more about friendship than I ever, ever thought. I'm going to pray for us that we would all have a picture of God's real heart for change, that we wouldn't dumb him down to one small sliver, but we would just understand the heart of our friend and what it means for us to be in friendship with others and really to change our city. So God, I just pray that you would meet us wherever we are on the friendship spectrum. I pray a special blessing over people who are where I have been for so much of my life in relatively friendless state, especially related to you. And I just pray you would reveal yourself as a friend to all of us, but especially to those. And I ask that you would just really, all the friends that you have in this room, I just pray that you would begin speaking to their hearts about change that you have in mind for our city. We pray for the real picture of change, the one from your heart, and not whatever our old bad pictures of that are. And I ask these things in the name of your Son. Amen. The band is going to play a song called Love Song. And I walked in yesterday and I heard them rehearsing this song, and my immediate thought was, I know that God has taught me about this friendship stuff, that the way that I can tell God that I love him, that I want to be near him, that I want to be his friend, is to lay down my life for my friends. That is my love song to God. If that helps you, you can borrow that context as we sing this song. Thanks.